Equanimity appears in a lot of the lists of qualities that we should be developing. Often it appears at the end of the list, which gives the impression that it's the highest of the qualities in that particular list. But it's important to realize the Buddha never recommended developing equanimity on its own. And when it appears in different lists, it's not necessarily the highest quality. It has to depend on the ones that come before to make sure that it doesn't turn into an unhealthy equanimity, indifference, apathy. Like with the Brahma Viharas. You start out with goodwill. And your goodwill has to be tough. The Buddha gives examples of people coming to you and saying all kinds of harmful, hurtful things. And you have to maintain your goodwill toward them. It seems as if the world is behaving in such a way to defy your goodwill. You want to wish for their happiness. You want to wish for your own happiness. You would have an attitude of friendly goodwill. But it's hard to be friends with people who are misbehaving in really harsh and cruel ways, as we see all around us. But you still have to have goodwill for them. You know, the Buddha says you have to make your goodwill large. Think of it being like the whole earth. And a little man comes along with a shovel and a hoe and a basket. He digs here and digs there, and he spits here and spits there, and he pees here and pees there, saying, be without earth, be without earth. But because his efforts are so puny, they're not going to succeed. They look kind of ridiculous. You know, same way the Buddha said, you should regard people who are misbehaving in harsh ways many times directly to you or to those you love. You have to think that your goodwill is bigger than them. Bigger than anything they could do. A lot of the efforts we see in the world are not like just one little man with a shovel and a basket. But you have to think of your goodwill as being so large that whatever armies are brought against it, it's still bigger than the armies. So your goodwill has to have some endurance. And where are you going to find that endurance? It's through equanimity. Realizing there's a lot of behavior out in the world that you cannot control. You can't let yourself get upset by that. Doesn't mean you don't try to fix things when they can be fixed. But there are a lot of times when you don't have the power to do that. You realize your limitations. It's like the equanimity of a doctor. The doctor has some patients he can cure and other patients he can't cure. The other ones he can't cure, he has to have the attitude of goodwill toward them. Figure, well, I can't bring about a total cure, but maybe I can help. And you look for areas in which you can help. And you mean well toward the patient all the way. Even though the patient can sometimes be pretty difficult. I happened to be in the hospital a couple of years back, and I had a glance at the chart that they had on my bed, down to the foot. It told not only what my symptoms were, but also whether I was a nice patient or not. So you can imagine some of the comments they had are difficult patients, but you still have to treat the patients well. So here, equanimity is in the service of your goodwill. You don't just say, well, this patient is difficult, I don't care about him, I care about her. You have to let them go. Well, before you let them go, you try to do the best you can to alleviate their pains, to lessen their symptoms, even though you know you can't cure them. And You're going to have the equanimity of a soldier. There are going to be setbacks in your battle. And it doesn't mean you're going to give up, but that you don't really care about the outcome of the battle. But when there are setbacks, you just can't let yourself get upset by them. You have to be equanimous. Yeah, this is more the equanimity that we would see in the Seven Factors for Awakening. You're working on your concentration, and there are days when it just doesn't go well. And so instead of getting upset about it, you calm the mind down and watch. Because obviously there's something you don't understand. Maybe in the breath, or maybe in the mind. And you're not going to see these things, you're not going to understand them, unless you just sit with them for a while and watch. So you keep in mind the attitude that, okay, we're going to come out victorious here, but there's been a setback. And instead of getting upset about the setback, you try to learn. What did we do wrong? And you're not going to see what you did wrong unless you're equanimous enough to watch. This is the same equanimity that's recommended in that image of the goldsmith. The goldsmith sometimes puts the gold in the fire, sometimes takes it out of the fire and blows on it, sometimes just looks at it. Putting it in the fire stands for the effort you put in the practice. With the unskillful qualities of the mind, you do your best to get rid of them. As for skillful qualities, you do your best to give rise to them. Once the mind is concentrated, then you try to maintain it. That's taking it out and blowing on it. Letting things rest for a while. Trying to gain a sense of energy that comes from the pleasure, the ease, the feelings of fullness that you can get as you settle in with the breath. But then there are times when you just have to watch what's going on. You're not sure, is this time to put it in the fire, or is this time to blow on it? You watch. You can't do just one of these activities. They have to help one another. As the Buddha said, if you're just equanimous, nothing happens. This is a trap that a lot of meditators fall into. Told, well, they shouldn't desire any results in the practice. Desire is a bad thing. So they just learn how to accept whatever comes up. They clone the attitude of an equanimous meditator. But then, as the Buddha said, nothing happens. The mind will not get into concentration if you're just equanimous. So your equanimity has to work with other qualities in order to be valuable and not actually become an obstacle on the path. You might say this is the equanimity of a hunter. A hunter knows where the animals tend to be, but he can't make an appointment with them, say, okay, at 2 o'clock I want a rabbit to come by. Just to go and sit and be very still and very alert and extremely patient and can't get upset by the fact that the rabbits aren't coming when they usually come. So sometimes things simply take time and you have to learn to be patient. And who knows what you're going to see. This is where the analogy breaks down. Because sometimes you make up your mind, you want the mind to do this, you want the mind to do that, and it's just not working. And so you get still as you can and watch whatever is unstill in the mind. And you begin to see little things you didn't see before. That's where the equanimity is good. because then you know what to do. So equanimity is not the goal of the practice. When the Buddha talks about nibbana, he doesn't say it's the highest equanimity. You do have the equanimity toward the rest of the world because you're not feeding on it anymore. But the experience of awakening itself is the ultimate happiness. This is a principle that we see throughout. Like when you're doing concentration practice, you don't go straight to equanimity. First, you have to give the mind a sense of well-being. Let it feed off the well-being. Sense of ease, the fullness. That is your food on the path. And then when you're well-fed, then you can be more equanimous. Not because you've told yourself to be equanimous, but simply your needs are met. So you're not needing to feed off of anything else. As for the equanimity of an awakened person, again, this person has found the ultimate happiness. There's no need for anything else. That's the kind of equanimity we want. Because when the mind is feeding off the world, you can't trust its perceptions. When it's no longer feeding off the world, it can look in a really balanced way at things. And you can see what needs to be done. In other words, you don't stop with equanimity. Equanimity is your ability to look at a situation and see it for what it really is. And then you can decide whatever needs to be done. Again, think of the goldsmith. When is the time to put the gold in the fire? When is the time to take the gold out and blow on it? You're going to learn that by watching it. And you want to make sure that as you watch it, you're calm, collected. So even though equanimity appears at the end of a lot of lists, it's not the case you get to the equanimity and you drop everything else. It's simply the balance point. So whatever else needs to be done, you can see it clearly.